Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Bava Metzia, Daf Ein Vav, the beginning of the sixth parak, Hasocher Es Umnin. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the sixth parak begins. Hasocher Es Umnin. If one hires craftsmen, the hitu zeh, and they deceive each other, in lahem zeh zeh al taromus, they have nothing but complaints against one another, but no monetary claim. Since the Mishnah does not say chazru, they reneged, expressing the retraction of one party, but they deceived one another, it implies one worker deceiving another, meaning the employer instructed someone to hire workers for him, and that person misled them about their pay rate. Two cases are suggested. Number one, the employer offered to pay three zuz, but the worker told them the employer would pay them four and that the employer is responsible for their pay. Three explanations are given why they're not entitled to the higher amount, yet have a legitimate complaint against the hiring worker. And number two, the employer offered four, but the hiring worker told them three. And although they agreed to the rate, their complaint against him is for transgressing al timna tov meba'alav, do not withhold good from its owner. Later, the Gemara demonstrates that the Mishnah can mean that one of the two parties retracted despite the Mishnah's language. Point number two, if an employer told the hiring worker to offer three zuz, and he told the workers they would receive four, and they responded, Kamosha Amr Baha Bias, we agreed to the offer as the employer said, their intent certainly was to agree to the higher rate of four. The Gemara asks, if the employer told the hiring worker to offer four, and he offered them three, and they responded, Kamosha Amr Baha Bais, how is this interpreted? Are they saying, we trust you that the employer said this, in which case they're only entitled to the three they agreed to? Or do we say, Adibur de Baha Bais Kasamri, they're relying on the word of the employer, and they are saying that they do not trust the hiring worker's offer, and insist on the employer's actual offer, so they would receive the four he offered? Gemara attempts a resolution from Rav's ruling, where a woman appoints someone to bring her get as a shliach halacha for delivery to her, and the shliach tells the husband he was sent to be a shliach kabbalah for acceptance, and the husband responded, this get is for you as she said. The get is not effective even after she receives it because he's not even a shliach halacha. This indicates that the husband does rely on the shliach's word. The Gemara rejects the proof. And point number three, a braisa teaches that although workers have only complaints against an employer who reneges, this is only if we renege before the workers travel to their job. But if hired donkey drivers hired for the day, went to the arranged location and did not find grain to deliver for him, or workers hired to hoe his field went and found the field damp and work cannot be done, he must pay them for the entire day, adjusted to the rate of a po'el batel. The braisa teaches that although workers hired by the job have no monetary claim if they do not begin work, but if they began their work and they reneged, we assess for them what they already did and he must pay for it. The Tanakhama says they are paid according to how much the work was completed, even if the completion will cost the employer more. Rabbi Dosa says, Shamin lehen masha asid lehayasos, we assess for them according to the work that remains to be performed, and that amount is deducted from their wages. Rashi notes that our Mishnah follows this opinion. So once again, the three points are, number one, the sixth parak begins, Hasocher es umnin, if one hires craftsmen, vihitu zeh zeh, and they deceive each other, ein lahem zeh al zeh al taromus, they have nothing but complaints against one another, but no monetary claim. Since the Mishnah does not say chazru, they reneged, expressing the retraction of one party, but they deceived one another, it implies one worker deceiving another, meaning the employer instructed someone to hire workers for him, and that person misled them about their pay rate. Two cases are suggested. Number one, the employer offered to pay three zuz, but the worker told them the employer would pay them four and that the employer is responsible for their pay. Three explanations are given why they're not entitled to the higher amount, yet have a legitimate complaint against the hiring worker. And number two, the employer offered four, but the hiring worker told them three. And although they agreed to the rate, their complaint against him is for transgressing al timna tov meba'alav, do not withhold good from its owner. Later, the Gemara demonstrates that the Mishnah can mean that one of the two parties retracted despite the Mishnah's language. Point number two, if an employer told the hiring worker to offer three zuz, and he told the workers they would receive four, and they responded, Kamosha Amr Baha Bias, we agreed to the offer as the employer said, their intent certainly was to agree to the higher rate of four. The Gemara asks, if the employer told the hiring worker to offer four, and he offered them three, and they responded, Kamosha Amr Baha Bias, how is this interpreted? Are they saying, we trust you that the employer said this, in which case they're only entitled to the three they agreed to? Or do we say, Adibur de Baha Bais Kasamri, they're relying on the word of the employer, and they are saying that they do not trust the hiring worker's offer, and insist on the employer's actual offer, so they would receive the four he offered. Gemara attempts a resolution from Rav's ruling, where a woman appoints someone to bring her get as a shliach halacha for delivery to her, and the shliach tells the husband he was sent to be a shliach kabbalah for acceptance, and the husband responded, this get is for you as she said. the get is not effective even after she receives it because he's not even a shaliach lahalacha. This indicates that the husband does rely on the shaliach's word. The Gemara rejects the proof. And point number three, a braisa teaches that although workers have only complaints against an employer who reneges, this is only if we renege before the workers travel to their job. But if hired donkey drivers hired for the day went to the arranged location and did not find grain to deliver for him, or workers hired to hoe his field went and found the field damp and work could not be done, he must pay them for the entire day, adjusted to the rate of a poel batel. The braisa teaches that although workers hired by the job have no monetary claim if they do not begin work, but if they began their work and they reneged, we assess for them what they already did and he must pay for it. The Tanakhama says they are paid according to how much work was completed, even if the completion will cost the employer more. Rabbi Dosu says, we assess for them according to the work that remains to be performed, and that amount is deducted from their wages. Rashi notes that our Mishnah follows this opinion. All right, so now it's time to go to our Simmer Daf Ein Vav, and this Simmer was suggested to us by Yeshua Eisenberg from North Miami Beach. He said that Ein Vav is an IV, an intravenous. So here goes. It was a tough day for the hospital manager who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV when his boss said to pay 4. And he responded, I agreed to the offer as the employer said. And then he had to pay a donkey driver who came to pick up a box of medical supplies for the entire day as a poel batel when he had forgotten to organize any to deliver. Once again, it's a motion. It was a tough day for the hospital manager who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV. IV? That must be learned off Ein Vav. It was a tough day for the hospital manager who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV when his boss said to pay 4, which reminds us, the 6th parak begins, Hasokha se umnim, if one hires craftsmen, vihitu ze, and they deceive each other, they have nothing but complaints against one another, but no monetary claim. Since the Mishnah does not say chazru, they reneged, expressing the attraction of one party, but they deceived one another, it implies one worker deceiving another, meaning the employer instructed someone to hire workers for him, and that person misled them about their pay rate. So it was a tough day for the hospital manager, who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV, when his boss said to pay 4. And he responded, I agree to the offer, as the employer said, which reminds us, if an employer told the hiring worker to offer 3 zuz, and he told the workers they would receive 4, and they responded, Kamosha Amar Baha Bais, we agreed to the offer as the employer said, their intent certainly was to agree to the higher rate of 4. The Gemara asks, if the employer told the hiring worker to offer 4, and he offered them 3, and they responded, Kamosha Amar Baha Bais, how is this interpreted? Are they saying we trust you that the employer said this, in which case they're only entitled to the 3 they agreed to, or do we say, Adibur de Baha Bais Kasamki? They are relying on the word of the employer, and they are saying that they do not trust the hiring worker's offer, and insist on the employer's actual offer, so they would receive the 4 he offered. So it was a tough day for the hospital manager, who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV, when his boss said to pay 4. And he responded, I agreed to the offer, as the employer said. And then he had to pay a donkey driver who came to pick up a box of medical supplies for the entire day as a poel batel, when he had forgotten to organize any to deliver, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that although workers have only complaints against an employer who reneges, this is only if you renege before the workers travel to their job. But if hired donkey drivers hired for the day went to the arranged location and did not find grain to deliver for him, or workers hired to hoe his field went and found the field damp and work could not be done, he must pay them for the entire day, adjusted to the rate of a poel batel. So once again, it was a tough day for the hospital manager who tried to deceive a male nurse by offering him 3 zuz to administer an IV when his boss said to pay 4. And he responded, I agree to the offer, as the employer said. And then he had to pay a donkey driver who came to pick up a box of medical supplies for the entire day as a poel batel when he had forgotten to organize any to deliver. All right, so now it's time for 4 blah back chazar. Daf Ayin Beis. The similar Daf Ayin Beis is Av thick, and we use a thick piece of cake. So here goes. After the Ger ate from his thick piece of cake, that must be run daf Ayin Beis. After the Ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his gerus, and happily collected the principal plus the ribbons for the loan he made to the Jew, prior to his gerus that was written as a new loan, which reminds us who was taught in Brisa that if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew with ribbis, and the total principal with interest was rewritten as a new debt, and afterwards the non-Jew converted, he can collect the full amount, including the ribbis. So after the ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his gerus, and happily collected the principal plus the ribbis for the loan he made to a Jew prior to his gerus that was written as a nuon. The presiding rabbi told him that if he would write a new shtar with ribbis, he would be penalized not to even use the shtar to collect the principal, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa, shtar shekasabo ribbis, regarding a shtar in which was written a ribbis obligation. Rebbe says, konsino, so we penalize the lender and he cannot even use the shtar to collect the principal. The Chachamim say that he may use the shtar to collect the principal, but not the interest. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Meir holds, Kansin Hetera Mishum Isura, we penalize something permitted because of something prohibited he attempted to do. And the Chachamim hold, we do not penalize the permitted part of the shtar. So after the Ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his Gerus, and happily collected the principal plus the ribbis for the loan he made to a Jew prior to his Gerus that was rewritten as a new loan, the presiding rabbi told him if he would write a new shtar with ribbis, he would be penalized not to even use the shtar to collect the principal. Just as the fruit platter finally arrived, which the rabbi had paid for in advance after a steady price, emerge, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ein poskin al peres ad sheyaseh hashar. One may not purchase produce in advance at a fixed price until a steady price emerges, because the buyer's benefit of a fixed price is ribbis for his advance payment. Yatsa shar poskin, once a steady price has emerged, one may purchase in advance for that price, and although the seller does not currently have the produce, someone else has it. And since the seller can theoretically purchase the produce now at the current price, we're lenient regarding ribbis, the rabbanan. Dafayin gimel. So the simon dafayin gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The man making advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs, that must learn dafayin gimel. The man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, which reminds us, Amoraim dispute the halacha pardesa, an advance payment for the future wine of a vineyard before the grapes have ripened at a reduced price. Rav forbids it, but Shmuel permits it. The Gemara explains that Rav holds that since the wine will later be worth much more, it appears like reward for waiting, meaning that the buyer received a discount for his advance payment for the wine. Shmuel holds that since the crop can be ruined by poor weather, the reduced price is not perceived as ribbis, but for accepting the risk. So the man making advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how the rabbis were permitted to make an advance payment for wine in Tishrei and only pick the barrels of wine and not the barrels that have soured in Tevis. So the man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, was approached by an agent who was negligent and didn't buy wine during the season when the price was low, who asked for directions to the port of Zol Shavat, which reminds us, Rav Chama said that if someone gave money to an agent to purchase wine from during the season, when the price was low, and the agent was negligent and didn't buy it for him, the agent must provide him wine according to the low price of the port of Zol Shavat, a major market where wine was cheap during the production season. Rav Zvid said this ruling was only issued where the agent was instructed to purchase the Yain Stum, unspecified wine, which was within his ability to obtain. But if he was sent to purchase Yain Zeh, this specific wine, he's not chai, for who's to say that the seller would have sold it to him? Rav Ashi disagrees and even exempts an agent who was told to buy Yain Stam because it's an asmachta, which is not binding. Daf Ein Dalet, so the Simur Daf Ein Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that must be Daf Ein Dalet, aid. The witness who pointed out to the judges the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, which reminds us, Rapapi said in Rav's name, I see Tumta Kanya, a mark put on wine barrels selected by a purchaser to be taken later as needed affects acquisition. Rav Chaviv explains that this means to actually acquire, like any other act of kinyan. The rabbi said it's only effective that the retracting party must accept upon itself the curse of a mishapara, but the buyer does not take any ownership of the wine. So the witness who pointed out to the judges the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, was astonished when he saw someone make an advance purchase of produce without a mark of price when the seller had unprocessed produce lacking two processes before completion. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis taught that one may make an advance purchase of produce even without a mark of price if the seller has produce even if it's unprocessed. Rav says, Mechusar Shtayim Posek, if the unprocessed produce is lacking two processes before its completion, he may make an advance purchase on its basis because it's considered like he has the produce, Shalosh Ein Posek, but if it's lacking three processes, he may not make an advance purchase on its basis since it's so far removed from completion, it's not like having the goods in stock. Shmuel distinguishes whether the processes are Bidei Adam or Bidei Shemayim. So the witness who pointed out to the judges the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, was astonished when he saw someone make an advance purchase of produce without a mark of price when the seller had unprocessed produce lacking two processes before completion, who stipulate to the seller that he wants the better price if the price decreases. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis stated, a buyer of an advance purchase who wants to protect himself against price decreases may stipulate with the seller for the better price, requiring the seller to deliver goods at the later price if it decreases. Rav Yehuda said that the buyer may retract if it decreases, even if he never made a stipulation. Daf Ayin Hei. So the Siman Daf Ayin Hei is an Amma Arts. So here goes. The Amma Arts. That must be more in Daf Ayin Hei. The Amma'arz who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in the storehouse when he found the gold key, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that one cannot tell his fellow, Halveni kor chitin, lend me a core of wheat, vani etenol chalagorin, and I'll give you back a core at the threshing season. This is a case of saw besaw, and rabbinically prohibited, because the produce may increase in price before the repayment. One may say, lend me a core of wheat until my son comes to access my wheat, or until I find the key. Since the borrower has wheat, albeit temporarily inaccessible, it's considered as if the lender acquires it now, and its subsequent increase in value is not ribbis. Hill prohibits even in this case, but the halacha follows the Tanakama. So the Amma'arz who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in the storehouse when he found the gold key, didn't realize his Amma'arz son had given the key away to someone as a gift, as ribbis mukdemis, to get a loan. Which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, Rambam Gamliel says, yesh ribbis mukdemis, there is advance interest, yesh ribbis mucheris, and there's subsequent interest. He explains that if one sends someone a gift and says, this is what you should lend me, this is a case of advance interest. If one borrowed from someone, and after repaying the loan, sent him a gift and said, this gift is because of your money which is idle with me, this is a case of subsequent interest. Rabbi Shimon says, yesh ribbis dvarim, there is verbal interest without a financial benefit. So the Amma'arz who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised they'd be back a saw that was locked in a storehouse when he found the gold key, didn't realize his Amma'arz son had given the key away to someone as a gift, as ribbis mukdemis, to get a loan, after he foolishly transgressed and lent money to someone without aiding him, who later denied his claim. Which reminds us, Rav said, Kol mi sheyesh lo moz, whoever has money and lends it out without aiding, transgresses lifnei iver lo titen mikshel, do not put a stumbling block before a blind person by enabling the borrower to falsely deny the loan. Rish Lakish says, Gorm Kalalalatzma, he causes a curse to be uttered against himself. People assume the borrower is truthfully denying the loan and curse the lender for falsely accusing him. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which step do you learn that one may not purchase produce in advance at a fixed price until a steady price emerges? That's on Daf Ayin Beis. Good. Number two, which step do we learn about Ribbis Mukdemis and Ribbis Mucheris? That's on Daf Ayin Hei. Good. Number three, which is the one about an agent's liability for failing to purchase wine during the season when the price is low? That's on Daf Ayin Gimel. Good. Number four, which stuff do you want about the prohibition of saw besaw? That's on Daf Ayin Hei. Good. Number five, which stuff do you discuss where one hires workers and deceives them regarding their wages? That's on Daf Ayin Vav. Good. Number six, which stuff do you want about advance payment for future wine of a vineyard at a reduced price? That's on Daf Ayin Gimel. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we discuss what the din is if workers tell the person hiring them that they agree as the employer said? That's on Daf Ayin Vav. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we discuss lending to a non-Jew with ribbis? That's on Daf Ayin. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you discuss which processes may be lacking in produce and still be considered yeshlo? That's on Daf Ayin Dod. Good. Number 10, which stuff do you learn that if donkey drivers went to a location to get grain to deliver, but there wasn't any, they get paid like a po'el batel? That's on Daf Ayin Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.